You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now, a message from CyberBit. Mastering cybersecurity is like mastering a sport. You build muscle memory through rigorous practice, then you train as a team to foster cohesion while operating under pressure. Like athletes, cybersecurity professionals thrive on hands-on simulation. But traditional courses, certifications, and open-source labs won't build you a winning team. You need CyberBit. CyberBit offers a hyper-realistic simulation environment for your SOC, IR, and C-suite to refine your skills, all using the market-leading SIEMs, EDRs, firewalls, and WAFs they use every day. CyberBit is offering CyberWire listeners a free live fire exercise. Sign up your team now at cyberbit.com/cyberwire.
Industrial control system worries in the electrical power sector. IoT botnets spook the EU, and research into Mirai reveals some interesting features of last month's DDoS attacks. The U.S. intelligence community says officially that the Russians are trying to influence U.S. elections. The Russians say it's rubbish. Hillary says Moscow wants to throw the election to Donald. Donald says it's unproven. And besides, how about those State Department emails? Investigation into the arrested NSA contractor proceeds. An expert suggests best practices for Cybersecurity Awareness Month. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, October 11th, 2016. Worries about industrial control system security surfaced again late last week as the International Atomic Energy Agency reported that an unnamed nuclear plant sustained a successful disruptive cyber attack 2 to 3 years ago. The attack posed no immediate threat to public safety, but SCADA experts and utilities are expected to redouble efforts at securing power generation and distribution facilities. September's Internet of Things-driven distributed denial-of-service attacks against OVH and Krebs on Security continue to cause technical and policy alarm bells to ring around the world. The European Union is moving toward some form of IoT security regulation. So far, it's unclear what form such regulation will take, but the talk in the European Commission so far is about a labeling system that would tell consumers their internet-connected devices are approved and secure. The evolving policy will bear watching. Investigation into the details of the IoT DDoS campaigns continues to center on the Mirai botnet. Security company Imperva has published the results of its findings in its Encapsula blog. The company says the Mirai botnet was both territorial, in that it disabled competing malware on infected systems and prevented remote connection attempts on compromised devices, and selective, in that its bots were coded to avoid IP addresses belonging to, among other organizations, the U.S. Postal Service, the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority, the U.S. Department of Defense, General Electric, and HP. Late Friday, the U.S. officially attributed election-related email hacking to Russia's government. A joint statement by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence and the Department of Homeland Security said the intelligence community was not only confident the operations were conducted by the Russian government, but that they could only have been authorized by, quote, Russia's senior-most officials, end quote. So the U.S. intelligence community rules out not only the hacktivism toward which Guccifer 2.0's sock puppetry would have misdirected attention, but also potential claims that the breaches represented low-level unauthorized freelancing. The statement also calls document dumps by DC Leaks and WikiLeaks, quote, consistent with the methods and motivations of Russian-directed efforts, end quote. The ODNI and DHS profess clarity about the nature of those motivations. Quote, these thefts and disclosures are intended to interfere with the U.S. election process. Such activity is not new to Moscow. The Russians have used similar tactics and techniques across Europe and Eurasia, for example, to influence public opinion there. End quote. Russian officials have, as one would expect, dismissed the attribution as rubbish designed to inflame what they're characterizing as unprecedented anti-Russian hysteria. In the U.S. presidential campaign, candidate Clinton has said that Russia's trying to throw the election to Trump. Candidate Trump, despite being briefed earlier about the grounds for attributing the DNC breaches to Russia, says it's unclear to him that Russia is actually behind the hacks. He's also taken the opportunity to draw attention to Clinton's difficulties with handling classified material during her tenure as Secretary of State. Also late Friday, around the time the ODNI and DHS released their statement on the DNC hacks, WikiLeaks posted just over 2,000 emails purporting to be from candidate Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta. These emails look generally discreditable, as leaked emails usually do. WikiLeaks impresario Julian Assange has promised more regular revelations through Election Day on November 8th. The FBI wants another iPhone unlocked. This one belonged to Dahir Adan, the apparent jihadist who went on a stabbing rampage in a Minnesota mall before he was shot dead by an off-duty police officer. The Bureau's efforts are expected to mirror those undertaken during investigation of the San Bernardino massacre earlier this year. Investigation into the NSA contractor arrested for allegedly having highly classified material squirreled away in his Maryland home continues. The Intelligence and National Security Alliance is prompted to call upon the next Congress and administration to modernize security policies, practices, and technologies in ways that would more effectively mitigate this sort of insider threat. Credit cards continue to be a popular target of criminals both online and with skimming devices. Smriti Konanar is Global Product Manager for HPE Data Security, and we checked in with her for some details on credit card security.
The old credit cards that are the magnetic stripe credit cards, they didn't have essentially a lot of security enabled in the cards themselves. Hence, it was really easy to read the payment information through the magnetic stripe. And it was easy to duplicate those cards also, and hence the payment fraud was really rampant previous to EMV. So with EMV chip-enabled cards, right now the payment information of the consumer is embedded into the chip itself, which is a secure device. And also on top of that, there's a lot of cryptographic operations that take place for the authentication of the consumer and also for the transmitting the information, the payment information into the EMV enabled terminals is also cryptographically done.
What about, you know, on-device technologies like Apple Pay?
Yeah, so that's a totally different security and payment technology there. There's a concept called as tokenization. What we mean by tokenization is that the PAN number, the credit card number itself, will be replaced by a random surrogate value. So that way, it's basically used as a security reason. Initially, it came about as back-end security. However, with Apple Pay and mobile wallets, EMV, again, EMV core standards body, again, came about a new standard, which is called as payment or EMV tokenization, where the tokenization is done prior to the authorization. So what I mean by that is when you register to Apple Pay and you enter your credit card information, the process that what it goes through is that that credit card information will be sent to the network or the issuer based on your credit card information. And then the issuer or the network will send a token, a payment token, back to the Apple wallet. So whatever is stored in the wallet, in your mobile wallet, is a token. It's a payment token instead of the credit card number. So that essentially enhances the security for payments quite a bit because the token is essentially the one that is used for the transaction or the payment authorization. However, that token itself cannot be used even if there is a data breach in midway or when there's a hacker that tries to get your information. The token itself is of no use to that hacker because, again, he doesn't have the same device, or even with the Apple Pay, it also comes with biometric authentication. So it is additional authentication and security there. So it is very hard to use that same token for other fraudulent purposes.
That's Smriti Konanar from HPE Data Security. In industry news, Verizon continues to mull whether its acquisition of Yahoo's core assets should proceed and at what kind of discount. Finally, a CISO, a consultant, and a security vendor walk into a bar, and the bartender says, "So, got any good best practices to share?" Just kidding. It's not really a joke. It's just week two of Cybersecurity Awareness Month. That CISO, consultant, and vendor are actually sharing some worthwhile thoughts on best practices with the readers of Healthcare IT News. They're worth a review. Among them are share information, cultivate multiple sources of intelligence, and don't neglect the dark web, plan and exercise your incident response, keep your patches current, and above all, approach cybersecurity in the spirit of risk management. You can read their comments at healthcareitnews.com.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Joining me once again is Dale Drew. He's the Chief Security Officer at Level 3 Communications. Dale, as we get closer to the election here in the United States, we're seeing more and more stories about the potential for voter hacking. What's your take on this? Is there something to this, or is there more smoke than fire?
You know, I'd say there's a lot of discussion around online voting and voting security. You know, voting security in general has always had a little bit of a black mark associated with it, not only because of the accuracy of the voting machines and their ability to be tampered with. You know, for example, there was a couple years ago where someone loaded Pac-Man on a voting machine. You know, I'd say the general consensus for voting security right now is just, you know, the need for holistic standards across the voting space. The ability for, you know, the back office infrastructure that is supporting as well as collecting voting data to be better protected. There's a fair amount of concern that a lot of these infrastructures are more susceptible to compromise than the voting platform itself. You know, the other one is, as I say, the motivation is today there is this sort of accepted half-truth, which is the belief that online voting or better voting security is not really going to increase voting turnout. And what we've seen in other countries is I'd say that's half true. In some countries, you know, turning to online voting and better voting security doesn't have a material impact on voter turnout. We've seen a couple of cases where it's been, you know, a 10% increase or a 12% increase. But other countries have experienced between a 30 to 40% increase in voter turnout because they made it more convenient for the end user to be able to vote.
And here in the United States, you know, voting is handled by the individual states, which strikes me as a mixed blessing because you have a lack of a standard across all the states. But on the other hand, it allows for experimentation.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the exact concern I'd say is just the lack of consistent standards. You know, each state can decide based on their expertise at the time and their resources at the time what voting security means to them. You know, we believe that global standards are the key to fixing this. Not just standards within the U.S., but standards across the globe. There's a lot of countries that are doing online voting today. Some of them have their entire ecosystem is oriented around, people-based certificates, as an example. And, you know, we're not advocating that, but what we are advocating is more of a global approach to understanding the risk profile and developing sort of approved methods for it so that each state now has access to a larger sort of think pool or think tank of capability to provide better voting capabilities for their citizens.
All right, Dale Drew, thanks for joining us.
And now a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.
Hi, everybody. It's Maria Varmazes here, your host over at T-Minus Space Daily, and sometimes a guest on Hacking Humans, too. We here at N2K CyberWire work hard to bring you concise, intelligence-driven news and commentary, and we'd like to know how we're doing. Please take a few minutes to complete our audience survey and share your feedback to help us continue to grow and meet your needs. Visit cyberwire.com/survey. That's cyberwire.com/survey to get started. Thanks so much for your input as we reach for the stars. It means the universe to us.